Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Friday to you. We've got the Friday groove going. What's going on, everyone? This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. We have a fun show lined up today. We're going to go over some of those baseball announcements, who won MVP and all that good stuff. We have a special guest calling in a couple minutes here. His name is Jeremy Marshall. You know him. He's one half of the duo over on Easy Sports Talk on NBC Radio. He'll be joining us here very shortly, and then after that, we'll get into the NFL picks and do all that stuff. Can't wait to have him on. Good friend. Always good to talk baseball with him. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR, and we're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get in there and let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of any cigar purchase you have. They're located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get on down and let them know, like I said, that PLR sent you. You can become a member very easily, but get you a locker backed up to a humidor. Never have to worry about your sticks going bad again. They have several big screen televisions up so you can kick back, watch your games, relax, enjoy, have fun. And you never again have to worry about your sticks going bad. You'll get a locker with your nameplate on it. And like I said before, it backs up to a humidor. And so sit back, relax, watch all the games. They never close until the last football game goes off every Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. Check them out, Maduro's Fine Cigar Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Everyone, it is Friday. We've waited for the weekend. The weekend is here. We had football yesterday. Wow, that was fun, actually. You know what? I have to be one of the people that kind of go the opposite way. Thursday football has not been that bad. You know, it's actually been pretty good, to be perfectly honest with you. We had a decent game yesterday, so that was always fun to check out. And like I said, we have the one, the only, Jeremy Marshall joining us. He is one half of the tag team of Easy Sports Talk Radio. He is on live with us right now. Jim Marshall, what's up, my friend? How are you?
PLR, how you doing? Always good to talk with a fellow Sun Devil.
Oh, we got a big one coming up in a couple weeks. I got to manage not to overlook this weekend, but a week from Friday, I will be in that stadium, and I will be ready. I'm hoping you will be there as well.
I will be there as a fan because, you know, down south does nothing for me. So anytime we can pounce on them, let's do it. So, but
let's make it happen.
We got to make it happen after last year's embarrassing game. And then, you know, for us, which ASU team's going to show up, the one that can – you know, can beat Washington or the one that's going to, you know, play like last year and give up mega amounts of yards.
Exactly. But I don't remember last year. I don't want to look back. I can only look forward. So I don't remember that. I just know that we're going to win this Saturday, become bowl eligible, and not put that on next week and add that extra pressure to it. So I'm looking forward to it. And I was just saying how, you know, you're one half of the excellent tag team over there at NBC Sports and knocks out Easy Sports Radio every weekend, and I don't know too many people that know as much about baseball as you do, and I was interested in getting your thoughts quickly on the MVP races and the winners and what your thoughts were.
Well, I thought that baseball did get it right, both Jose Altuve and Giancarlo Stanton. Little surprised that Joey Votto finished second, but, you know, what does second get you anyway? Nothing, really. You know, you've seen a change in baseball a little bit. you know, we can go back to when Andre Dawson won it. You can go to even go back to 1969 when the San Francisco Giants, I think, won 90 games or 92 games, and Willie McCovey dominated, and he ended up, you know, how about Rod Carew when he hit 388 on a team that didn't win? So I think every now and then you'll see it, but I think you're starting to see a change in baseball where you don't really have to be on a winning team. For me, maybe what could have cost Paul Goldschmidt was the bad September that he had. Now, whether it was due to the elbow or being involved in a playoff race, I mean, we're not going to know. But to be consistent all the way throughout the year, and that's what Nolan Arenado was pretty consistent, Joey Votto was pretty consistent, and then obviously Giancarlo Stanton. So I thought baseball got it right.
You know what? I'm going to go. I had a little homerism in it. I thought Goldie should have won the award just because of what he did all year and the fact that his team was playing meaningful games. Even though he had a bad September, you still had to pitch to him. You couldn't just throw around him. I mean, with J.D. Martinez there and with Jake Lamb there, you still had to pitch to him. This is not knocking Joey Votto. This is not knocking Stanton. Stanton at that point was just hitting home runs on a bad team. You know, it's not unlike Sosa and McGuire that year. They were hitting home runs, but they were also – their teams were also pretty good. So they weren't just launching. And I think there came a point in time where Stanton was just launching home runs, and that's really all that mattered. And that's why I went that way. I thought Altuve was the right choice. He hit from day one till the end of the day on the best team in baseball, and I thought that one was right. But call me a homer. But I was thinking that was Goldie's award.
Yeah, and I thought of it a little bit. If you say that it doesn't matter that you're on a winning team, then maybe 2 years ago and even last year, maybe Paul Goldschmidt should have won. I know Andrew McCutchen had dynamite stats when he beat out Goldschmidt. Last year, the stats, you know, were a little similar except for the home runs. But I remember last year some of the writers saying that, you know, he didn't play meaningful games. But then this year, he plays meaningful games, and you gave it to, you know, Stanton. So it is kind of – you could argue either way. But for me, I look at it now as who dominated the game the most from day one until, like you said, granted the Marlins were out of it. You know, they were in it until what, maybe the 1st of September when they completely fell because they had made a few trades and everything. But for me, it was fun to see Stanton hitting the 59 home run, something he hadn't seen since, you know, Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, what, 2001. So either way, I just thought, and to me, maybe I'm thinking a little different on this. I thought once Torrey Lovello got manager of the year, I didn't think Paul Goldschmidt was going to get MVP. Why give something to Arizona, you know, dominating, you know, manager of the year and MVP? But that's how I look at it.
Did Kershaw get jobbed?
Same thing with, you know, doing the Cy Young Award. I know we've had Johnson and Brandon Webb winning. I know there was some talk when Brandon Webb won it that maybe he shouldn't have won it. But, yeah, but like I said, in the end, I think the writers got it right on both of them. I know some people were a little disappointed that Nick Pecoro didn't even vote for Paul Goldschmidt, but that's really not – granted, he covers the hometown team, but he went for who he thought was the most dominating throughout the year as well.
What about Clayton Kershaw, Cy Young? Thoughts?
You know, I was a little – the thing that I'm guessing on the Cy Young that maybe Scherzer won is because Kershaw was hurt for part of the time. And that's the only thing that I could think of is why he didn't win it. I was a little surprised that Scherzer got it. And wasn't this his second consecutive one? Didn't he win it last year as well? And this is his third overall. But I was a little bit surprised that Kershaw did not get in. The only thing I could think of is that he had missed some starts. But, you know, injuries, if you were that dominant, injuries really shouldn't matter. And then, obviously, in the American League, maybe Chris Sale a little bit, but, boy, he kind of faltered in the end. And Kluber was just dominating the whole season.
Yeah, I have no love loss for Chris Sale. As you know, I'm an old White Sox guy.
I know.
Chris Sale at times can be a jerk. So anyway, hey, I know we are coming up against it for an amount of time. Yeah, please tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
Well, every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Arizona time, NBC Sports Radio, AM 1060 Phoenix. I have the Easy Sports Talk show with my co-host, Ed Smith, who's just, I know you've had him on the show, and there's just not enough great things to say about Ed. He's just the nicest guy, former baseball player, NFL football player, and we're making big strides with our show, and you can follow me on Twitter at BaseballedAZ. That's BaseballedAZ. I'm bald, and I like baseball, so, and I'm from the state of Arizona.
Hey, listen, I'm going to get you out of here real quick. Suns win more than 20 games? Yes or no?
I think the Suns could – I think the Suns – I would be happy with 30 wins, and I'm really leaning toward 30 wins. I like Jay Triano. Whether he gets the job or not, I'm not sure. But I do like what the Suns are doing. I just hope fans are going to be a little bit patient. But at least keep these core of these guys. Don't let them go somewhere else. But hopefully things are looking up for my Phoenix Suns.
All right, buddy. Hey, listen, I appreciate the time, and I will definitely catch up with you. Have a good weekend, and thank you, sir, for the time.
Thanks, PLR. Go Devils.
All right, Jim. Talk to you later. That was the great, the one, the only Jim Marshall, one half of Easy Sports Talk Radio, heard on NBC Radio. On the line, calling is PLR. Who do we have with us?
Hey, PLR, it's LOU.
Hey, Lou, how are you this Friday?
All right. I'm not surprised, well, you know, that Altuve, you know, won the American League, but I am surprised that it was a landslide victory. I thought maybe it was going to be a lot closer between him and Judge.
It wasn't even close. And you know what? You know what it reminded me of? I don't know if you ever watched the Honeymooners, and maybe I'm dating myself here, but there was this race one time with for the lodge president, and the name of the names, and they go one for Cramden, two for Cramden, three for Cramden, and he yells, "It's a landslide," and then it wasn't a landslide. And then one for McGillicuddy, two for McGillicuddy, and I thought of that for whatever reason last night. Is as soon as they said landslide, I was like, "Oh boy, we didn't go Ralph Cramden," but I kind of last yesterday when you called in, I thought Altuve won, but I didn't think it would be a landslide like that, especially with voters on the East Coast. But if you can kick someone's butt in All-Star, I mean in MVP voting, he did it.
Much to my surprise.
Yeah. Yep. What did you think about the National League? You called it when we spoke to you. You called it. You didn't think Goldie would be the man. You talked about Giancarlo, and it looks like
that guy right. I mean, Stanley had a phenomenal year, even though the Marlins played awful. And I'll agree with your last caller that, you know, we are seeing a change where not necessarily you're on a crappy team, but you still pull out, you know, honors like with MVP and the home run title. So it's like the momentum has shifted now.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be if you had a great team, sure, they're the ones that get the awards, the MVP of the year, the league batting title, the home run hitter. Now it's more spread out. Even if you tank in the regular season, you're still going to get some honors. So the game has changed since I grew up.
It has. And you know what, though? Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe I'm stuck in old man. You got to be, you know, on a winning team. But and like I said, the last person I could think of was A-Rod, who just had just numbers that you couldn't ignore. But maybe there's more to it than that now.
A-Rod, who's that?
Gotcha. You know something? You know what's really funny is he's done a magnificent job on the MLB network, and I don't want to say it's surprising, but I didn't know, and maybe you didn't either, but I didn't know he had that much personality outside of baseball, or as a player, I mean.
I don't have personality at all. I mean, you know how he is with the press and how they go after him, and he can be so arrogant. So who would have thought that a guy that would have any personality to do anything like that at all?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because it goes both ways, because people thought
Tony Romo would be great. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes I want to turn the sound down and just watch the game.
Yeah.
That's a personal opinion. Speaking of which, Thursday night football last night, obviously not as entertaining, but you know what? I want to get your opinion on this really quickly. Thursday night football has not been as terrible this year.
Not at all.
As it has in previous years. I don't think.
No, for the most part, the Thursday game's been very entertaining to watch. I know everybody's griping about, but.
Yeah, you know what? The matchups haven't been bad.
No.
We're seeing some decent teams usually. It's not like we're seeing, the Cleveland Browns versus, the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, so we haven't seen those. We did see the Niners early in the year, but that's before we knew they were that bad. And it was against the Rams before we knew they were that good. And they both put up over 80 points playing each other. So,
I think the NFL needs to watch it with its scheduling too, because they're also basing it from last year's results. Like, well, these two teams are horrible last year. They're going to put us up on a Monday night game. No thanks. I'd rather go to bed early. Or you have some of the games like it was San Francisco versus the San Francisco versus the Giants. Sorry, I think I'll go on my lawn for the rest of the afternoon, or sleep. They don't want trash matchups.
Right. Everyone talks about the Thursday game, and I'll say outside of the Thanksgiving Day, which is a tradition at this point, I think what they should do for the Thursday game, if they want every player fresh, and I believe every player should be fresh because it is a lot to ask someone to go through a train wreck on a Sunday and then recover enough, because the road team, think about it. If you're a road team on Sunday, or you're a road team, you play on Sunday, you have to get back on Monday, which is a day to, get your body back right. Tuesday, you're not practicing your film, walkthrough, day off, whatever. Wednesday, you're now flying to go and play on Thursday. So when you really think about it, you really only have 2 days off. People say, well, it's four. It's not four, because a flight day isn't a day off. So you have 2 days off. So what I think they should do is, if you play on Thursday, you should have been one of the teams that had a bye week on Sunday.
Yeah,
so therefore, you're not – you know what I mean? So you're getting that stretch. So you're not playing on Sunday. Then you're starting your week off on Thursday. And then, you actually get a little bit more time to get ready for the following week. But if you play on Thursday, you should have the bye the previous Sunday. And I think
if you do
that, players will be fresh and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Okay, here's another thing. Say the team that played Sunday but has to play again on Thursday, that doesn't give enough time. All right. Okay, but the next week, they don't play again from that Thursday until all the way next Sunday. So doesn't that kind of balance out a little bit? Because I was doing that question last night, but they said no. No, it doesn't help.
No. It does not help. It doesn't. And you know what? I've talked to players, and it doesn't help at all, because they said – you know what? I equated it to this. Say you stayed up 24 hours, and then the next night you only slept 2 hours, and the next night you slept 2 hours. And then for the next couple of days, you get 8 hours of sleep in. You still can't make up the sleep that you lost. It's the same thing with their bodies. Their bodies are getting beat up. You can't make that time back up. So I think just give them the bye the Sunday, the week before the Thursday game,
give them the bye,
then you're set.
You're right.
And then there's no complaints, because not only did they get a bye before the game, they have a mini bye before they play the following week. And I think that would make everyone happy, and it would be, the easiest way to go. But look, I got these picks. I want to know if you want to do some picks with us this week while you're on the line. All righty. We'll start off with Detroit going to Chicago.
Oh, the Lions, hands down.
Yeah, I hate to pick this game as a native Chicagoan, but
just out of curiosity, who did you take last night?
Why the Steelers?
So did I. Okay, we're two for two then.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Detroit. In a game that would have been a who cares game any other year, but this year, but one of these teams are actually good. Jacksonville goes to Cleveland.
My boss is happy too.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Jacksonville goes to Cleveland.
Say that again?
I said Jacksonville is in Cleveland.
Oh, Jacksonville. Cleveland doesn't have a chance.
Not even. Baltimore goes to Green Bay. That might be one of the better games, to be honest with you, but Baltimore is in Green Bay.
I had to really think about this because, as I mentioned, that, you know, without Rodgers, Green Bay has not been the same team. Then again, Baltimore hasn't been, you know, nothing to write home about either this season. So if I had to choose, if I had to flip a coin on, I would have to go with the Packers.
I'm with you. I think this is the week that Hundley actually plays well. Tampa Bay goes to Miami.
Strangely enough, I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
You know what? I hate to do it. I'm right with you. The Rams go to Minnesota.
Another tough one. Well, you know what? Call me crazy, but I'm going to go with the Vikings.
You know what? I think we're copying the picks all the way down because I'm going with the Vikings as well on this one. Washington.
By the way, the next week, the Rams are going to be changing their name to the Yams. The Yams.
Washington goes to New Orleans.
Hate to disappoint my colleagues in Washington, but I'm not going with the Redskins.
No, me either. Going with New Orleans and then. And then New Orleans defense? I can't believe I just said that. Kansas City goes into New York to play the Giants.
Chiefs, Giants are done.
Giants are done. They've been done.
Done.
Arizona visits Houston.
Hate to disappoint you, but I think I'm going to go with Texans.
Well, you're not disappointing me. I'm going with the Texans as well. Buffalo goes into L.A. to play the Chargers. That sounds weird.
Well, with Taylor being benched, I think maybe I have to go with the Chargers.
I'm with you again. Cincinnati goes into Denver.
Denver.
I'm going with Cincinnati. Denver has Brock Osweiler as their starting quarterback this week, and never. I'm going with Caratop and Joe Mixon have a huge game against Denver. So, I'm going with Denver. New England. And Oakland and Mexico.
As much as I can't stand them, I have to go with the Deflators.
I don't care if New England played Oakland and Sri Lanka. I'm going with New England.
I think that's next week.
Philly goes into Dallas without Zeke for the Sunday night game.
And actually, that plays in Sri Lanka this week. No. You know what? I think maybe Dallas just lost a step last week because, they were relying so much on Elliott, but now I think they can get used to it, so I think I'm going to go with Dallas.
All right, I'm rolling with Philly. I've been on that Philly bandwagon all year. I'm not jumping off now. And then the Monday night game, Atlanta versus Seattle in Seattle.
Atlanta's still having a Super Bowl hangover, and I think it's going to affect them the rest of the year, so I got to go with the sleazebags. I mean Seahawks.
Well, I'm with you with that Seahawks pick. Russell Wilson always finds a way. With no line, no running game, somehow, some way, Russ finds a way. So I'm going to go with them as well. So, all right, Lou. Well, listen, I appreciate you picking with me, and I appreciate you calling. I hope you have a good weekend.
You too, Flor.
Plan, and we'll be back at it Monday. Hopefully, give a call. A short week next week. It's a holiday. We're just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Thursday would be a no-no for me anyway.
Yeah, Thursday about this time, I will be waking up from a nap after I like to call it pre-eating before the eating really starts.
Uh-huh. Well, if you're my family, I mean, we're up all night Wednesday getting this thing done ready for Thursday, and then we'll zone out by 6 o'clock and then get ready to get for dessert.
Oh, yeah, you gotta go twice. You know, once before everyone comes over, and then once when everyone gets here, and then, you once everyone leaves and you clean up, you got to just get one more of your favorite in. See, that's what everybody forgets. You get the favorite in after everyone goes because you try to balance everything when everyone is here.
Well, you see,
but then when they leave, you go right into that favorite one.
Well, see, I'm Italian, and we Italians, you know, we like to go all out. We celebrate. We start like about noon, and we go to about 9, 10 o'clock at night. And that includes Christmas as well.
All right, my man. Hey, look, like
even
I said, I appreciate
it. We do our best too.
All righty, my man. Listen, you have a good weekend, and we'll
right,
talk
thanks.
To you next week.
You
all right, thanks, buddy. All right, guys, so here's the deal. I was at the Suns game last night, and there was TNT. They covered Boston and Golden State. Then they covered the Suns and the Rockets. And I guess I should start by saying, yeah, and good win for Boston. They came back. They beat the champs. Here's how I want you to look at that game. It means nothing that it means something. Did you follow me? It means nothing, but it means something. It meant that we got to see what Boston can do defensively against one of the better teams, but I'm not really believing that in a seven-game series they're going to beat them 4 out of 7 games. What it does prove to me, though, however, is that they are the best team in the East, and I'm still riding that Kyrie bandwagon, and I've been on the Kyrie bandwagon for a while, and I still think that right now, if we voted, which we're not, and it's too early, we're not even 20 games in, but if we voted, he would be my MVP of the year. But I am I'm very, very impressed with what I'm seeing out of Boston. I think they played a very good game against a very good team. And Golden State, like I said, they will always get the best from everyone as the champs. They were 17 down, or Golden State was 17 up, Boston 17 down, came back, won the game. Very entertaining game. Basketball is one of the few sports where you can kind of say, look, I know this team is better than this team, and this team, though, on this day won. And that's why series are best out of seven. If Boston played Golden State, do I think Golden State would sweep them? No. And I think we saw why last night, because Boston is a very good defensive team. And I think that's what we would get in the series. I think Golden State would win. You know, winning in 5 or 6. Remember, I picked Boston to go to the finals right after the Kyrie trade was made. I thought it was something that they would do. I thought they were just good enough to do that. With Gordon Hayward getting injured, a lot of people jump ship. I'm not one of those people that jump ship. I still think Cleveland is an incredible team. I still think Cleveland has the best player in the NBA. I don't think he can do it as long as he used to do it because age catches up with everyone. He is leading the league in minutes, and I'm talking obviously about LeBron James. And I think come April, May, and June, that is going to catch up with him. And I think Boston is going to supplant the Cleveland Cavaliers this year and represent the East in the finals. I know the Washington Wizards fans are probably screaming at me. I care less because you guys do a whole lot of talking, and every time you play Cleveland, we find out why they are that good and why you really don't advance past the second round of the playoffs every year. You can say when it comes to the Washington Wizards, I'm from Missouri. Show me state, it's time for you to show me. And that other game that I was at working last night so I could bring you the best coverage possible, the Houston Rockets beat the Phoenix Suns as soon as the Phoenix Suns came out of the tunnel to start the game. Actually, they beat them while the Suns were getting dressed. Actually, they beat them before the Suns even got to the arena. Houston scored 90 first quarter points. Let me repeat that one more time. They scored 90 first quarter points. And if you've ever been to a basketball game, you always get that initial run. So Houston comes out, they get the run, they're shooting, they're scoring. They score 45 points in the first quarter, and you always think, well, crap, that was an incredible first quarter. Man, they put up almost a half of 100 on them. But they'll cool down. Suns may not win this game, but no way Houston can score 45 points in another quarter. It's not possible. not going to happen. Yeah. Right. Suns shot 50-something percent in the first quarter, and they were down by almost 20 points. Let me say that one more time, because it really doesn't make sense when you really stop to think about it. The Suns shot over 50%, and they were losing 45 to 26. It is nuts, people. This team is really bad. I mean, they're really bad. And I know Houston is good. I do. I really do know they're good. I know they threw up 113 points a game. Folks, they had 113 points after three quarters. And, I'm going to indict the Suns. And I think it's – honestly, I think it's crazy. I think the team that they're rolling out there is going to be a tough team for fans to get behind this year. 3 years ago, everyone in Phoenix was yelling that the Phoenix Suns had too many point guards. They don't have one. Now they don't have a point guard at all. What did we hear? Oh, it was good that Bledsoe got up out of here. He was selfish. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. Bledsoe would have been an NBA All-Star if he was playing in the East Conference last year. This team wanted Brandon Knight traded. They tried to trade him. They tried to trade Brandon Knight. Fans turned on Brandon Knight. Everyone turned on Brandon Knight. Now it's, well, maybe next year when Brandon Knight comes. Folks, listen to me. You got what you wanted. I like Tyler Ulis. I really do. Mike James seems to be okay. But you traded a guy that's better than both of them. You have Devin Booker at times playing the point guard position right now. There was a lineup last night. I looked up Devin Booker was the point guard. I looked up again. Devin Booker was the two guard. I looked up again. Devin Booker was basically the three. What do you want Devin Booker to do? What's next for him? Is it a muscle up so you can play power forward? Jump center? The Suns were fortunate in the fact that they got a 13 pick in the first round, and it was Devin Booker, and it turned into someone that's very special. Someone that's a budding NBA superstar. It's very hard to get nowadays when you're drafting lower lottery. And they got it. They found it in Devin Booker. And, yeah, because he's with them, he's under contract. But if you don't start to put pieces around him, Devin Booker's going to send one of those text messages, and I'm being facetious when I say that, or tweets, I meant to say, saying I don't want to be here. And he's going to leave when he's a free agent. You got to put some real pieces around him. You can't take a kid who's coming out of college who was thrust into a position that once he was put in that position, proved he belonged in that position, and then all of a sudden start moving out the talent. We have proven, this has been proven, that free agents, good free agents, name free agents, high name, big ticket free agents, they don't come to Phoenix. You have to trade for them. The last big-ticket free agent to come to Phoenix was Steve Nash. And when Steve Nash came to Phoenix, almost every fan thought that they overpaid him to come to Phoenix, because even though he turned into an MVP player when he came here, no one thought of Steve Nash as an MVP. And if you thought Steve Nash was going to come here and be an MVP, you are lying. But even when Steve got here and we had Stoudemire and everything went wrong from 1 year it was Joe Johnson getting hurt. 1 year it was this. 1 year it was David Stern with the suspension. Everything happened to not win a title. And what happened? We still didn't bring a big-name free agent to Phoenix. We let players go out of Phoenix, not come into Phoenix. During Steve Nash's tenure, yeah, we brought Shaq in, but Shaq wasn't Shaq when he got here. And I hate it when people say, well, you brought Shaq. We didn't bring Shaq. We didn't bring the Orlando Shaq or the L.A. Shaq or the first year in Miami Shaq. We didn't bring that Shaq here. And you're kidding yourself if that's what you think. But during his time here, what happened? Let's think about it. Joe Johnson left. We were too cheap to pay him. Sean Marion left. Then Amari left. The players that could play exited. They didn't come in. When Joe Johnson didn't sign, we didn't get an adequate replacement for Joe Johnson. He left. Sean Marion left. Amari Stoudemire left. Eventually, Boris Diaw left. Players leave. Good players leave here. They don't come here of their own volition. Devin Booker was drafted. So let me go through this. Goran Dragic, we got back from Houston. Goran Dragic is gone. We got IT. IT is gone. We got Bledsoe. Bledsoe is gone. And I want you to tell me the free agent that we got, that we signed, that is as talented as the three names that I just mentioned that came to Phoenix. And don't tell me Tyson Chandler, because Tyson Chandler is not just a good basketball player. He's a good dude. But let's face it, it's not the Tyson Chandler we saw winning a title in Dallas or anchoring the Knicks. That's not this Tyson Chandler. We don't get, even though he may not be who they love, we don't get the LaMarcus Aldridge in a free agency. And then you start to think, why don't we make certain trades? Why is Boogie Cousins not here? I mean, was there anyone, think about this, seriously stop and think about this. Was there anyone on the Suns outside of Bledsoe who they would have needed to play with him, because that would have been part of the reason that you brought him here, or Devin Booker that you wouldn't give up? Was there anyone else on this team that was so untouchable that you wouldn't bring him in? Did you see what the New Orleans Pelicans got for Boogie Cousins? You mean to tell me the Phoenix Suns going to work that same deal? That's what makes watching young teams so tough right now, because you watch these teams and you watch what they do, and you're watching a team like the Lakers who have beat the Suns twice already this year with their young guys, with their young kids. You watch Philly, and everyone laughed at them, and the trust the process. And look at what they're doing. And we can say, well, look at Boston. They had all those young picks. They went out. Well, you know what Boston did? Boston went out and got their coach of the future after Doc Rivers left. And guess what? They stuck with their young coach, and they've built. And they had a vision. They've built. Since Doc left. Since the Suns went to the Western Conference Finals to play the Lakers over 8 years ago, 8 years ago, nothing has worked in terms of coaching. Like I said, Boston got their coach, and they stuck with their coach, and their GM and their coach worked hand-in-hand, and they came up with the plan, and every year they got progressively better. And Danny Ainge fleeced people left and right out of their picks. And then guess what they did? They attracted a free agent, Al Horford. They attracted a free agent. I don't know, Gordon Hayward. Then they made the big trade. Now, Gordon Hayward obviously is hurt, but they had Al Horford 2 years ago, this year and last year. Suns went from Alvin Gentry, right? Then when Alvin left, they had, oh my goodness, Lindsey Hunter. Then Lindsey left, then they went to Jeff Hornacek. Then Hornacek left, then they went to Earl Watson. Then Earl Watson left, and then now they're on Jay Triano. Five coaches. Consistency. The only thing the Suns have been consistent about is getting rid of coaches and changing plans and saying we're going to build young. And, yes, we may have, I believe, seven first-round picks between now and 2021, 2022. What's the plan? I know I sat there last night and watched a team totally dismantle the Suns. And I'm not ragging on the Suns because I hate them. I just want to know what the plan is because I actually really love this team. And I want to see us do better. And they're trying. Listen, folks, the Suns aren't trying to lose. Those players aren't trying to lose. When those players go out there every night, they're trying to win games. Listen, they don't want to be embarrassed. They only give up 90 points. And I'm not totally blaming them. They're trying. Outgunned. Well, anyway, I'm off my soapbox. It was a total disaster last night. Total disaster. And for a late game, fans showed up. I think they expected more. And I think they deserve more. That's going to be a wrap on the Cave Show, not just for today, but for the week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Jimmy Marsh, for calling in on the Kerry Lackey Law line. We had our favorite caller, Lou, give a call in today as well. Remember, you can always get us on the Kerry Lackey Law line during the show. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media on Instagram, Facebook, fan page, and Twitter. At the Sports Cave is where you can get us. SportsCave.com is the website. Make sure you're checking us out there. Next week, only three shows, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to celebrate the holidays. You can get me on Twitter at PLR on Sports. Thanks a lot, everyone. Appreciate everyone. Have a good week. And we'll see you next week. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone take care and get that weekend music vibe going. Good weekend, everyone.